Chapter 12. Lieutenant Neuchting was captain, and Jan Agil Ensign-Bearer was 90 strong. The General's second company, of which Dirk Smith was captain, and Don Powell Ensign-Bearer, was 60 strong. Nicolas da Silva the Marshal's company, of which Lieutenant Pieter Ebel was captain, and William van Reichenvold Ensign-Bearer, was 55 strong. The Major's second company, which was composed of seamen and pilots, with Dirk Jans Verstraeten of Usingen as their captain, boatswain's mate Dirk Kles of Munnekendam as ensign-bearer, and the sailmaker Jan Illis of Hansum as lieutenant, consisted of 50 men, making altogether 317 men. The 10th, after breakfast, the fleet got underway, and ran close under the guns of Fort Casimir, and anchored about a cannon shot's distance from it. The troops were landed immediately, and General Stuchvesen dispatched Lieutenant Dirk Smith with a drummer and a white flag to the commandant, named Sven Sheeten, 5 to summon the fort. In the meantime we occupied a guardhouse about half a cannon shot distant from the fort, and at night, placed a company of soldiers in it, which had been previously used as a magazine. The 11th, the commander, Sven Sheeten, sent a flag requesting to speak with the general, who consented. They came together, and after a conference the said commander surrendered Fort Casimir to the general, upon the following conditions. 1-6 are named below. The 7th or 1st was the admiral or flagship the Wahiti Balance, on which the writer sailed. The hoop was a French privateer, L'Espérance, which had just arrived at New Amsterdam, and was engaged for the expedition. 2 Nya Elfsborg. 3 Rising states the total number of the force as 600 or 700. 4 IEE, Stuyvesant's. In the military organization of that day, one or two companies were usually given a primary position as the general zone or alunnel zone. Of the persons mentioned below, Nicasius de Sille was a member of the council, and de Koning was the captain of the Waal. 5 Sven Schut. First, the commander, whenever he pleases, and shall have the opportunity, by the arrival of ships belonging to the crown, or private ships, shall be permitted to remove from Fort Casimir the guns of the crown, large and small, consisting, according to the statement of the commander, of 4 iron guns and 5 case shotguns, of which 4 are small, and 1 is large. Second, 12 men shall march out as the bodyguard of the commander, fully accoutred, with the flag of the crown, the others with their sidearms only. The guns and muskets which belong to the crown shall be, and remain at the disposition of the commandant, to take or cause them to be taken from the fort, whenever the commander shall have an opportunity to do so. Third, the commander shall have all his private personal effects uninjured, in order to take them with him, or to have them taken away whenever he pleases, and also the effects of all the officers. Fourth, the commander shall this day restore into the hands of the general Fort Casimir and all the guns, ammunition, materials, and other property belonging to the General Chartered West India Company. Done. Concluded and signed by the contracting parties the 11th September, 1655, on board the ship De Waal, lying at Fort Casimir. Signed, Petrus Stuchvesant, Sven Schutz. (1) This agrees with the official text in N. Y.Y. Colonel Doc. Zia. 102. The 13th. Was taken prisoner the lieutenant of Fort Christina, with a drummer, it being supposed that he had come as a spy upon the army, in consequence of the drummer's having no drum. The 14th, the small fleet was again under sail with the army forward Dryadich Point, one where they were landed. The 15th, we arrived at the west of Fort Christina, where we formed ourselves into 3 divisions. The Major's company and his company of sailors were stationed on the south side of the creek, by the Yadindrat Union, where the Major constructed a battery of 3 guns, 1 8-pounder and 2 6-pounders. The General's company and the Field Marshal's were divided into 2. The marshal threw up a battery of 2 12-pounders, about northwest of the fort. The general placed a battery about north of the fort, opposite the land entrance, 100 paces, by calculation, from the fort, and mounting 1 18-pounder, 1 8-pounder, 1 6-pounder, and 1 3-pounder. Less than 2:01 on August, an airman's excellent map of Maryland and Delaware, Verdriadich Heap, Tedious Point, appears as a name of a promontory about where Marcus Hook, Pennsylvania, now is. Rising, however, reports the Dutch as landing at Rich Heap Herd Point, just north of Christina Creek. 2. For a plan of the siege, derived from that made by the Swedish engineer Lindstrom, see Winsor, Narrative, and Critical History of America, IV. 480. The 17th, the flyboat Leift returned to the Manhattans with the Swedish prisoners. From the 17th to the 23rd, nothing particular happened. Then, when we had everything ready, the governor of the fort received a letter from our general, to which our general was to have an answer the next day. The same day an Indian, whom we had dispatched on the 13th to Menates, arrived, bringing news and letters to the effect that some Dutch people had been killed at Menates by the Indians, one which caused a feeling of horror through the army, so that the general sent a letter immediately to the fort, that he would give them no time the next morning. Then the general agreed with the Swedish governor, to come together in the morning, and make an arrangement. The general had a tent erected between our quarter and their fort, and there an agreement was made, whereby the governor, Johan Rissing, surrendered the fort on the 24th of September, upon the conditions mentioned in the accompanying capitulation. Less than 2 on the 28th of September the general left with the ships and yachts, and we were ordered to remain from 8 to 14 days, and let the men work daily at Fort Casimir, in the construction of ramparts. Less than 3 100 were killed, 150 taken prisoners. 2N. YY Colonel. Doc. Zia. 104-106. 3 Fort Casimir was made the seat of Dutch administration on the South River. In 1657 it was named New Amstel, and the colony there was taken over by the city of Amsterdam. The 11th of October, Governor Itzing and Factor Elswijk, with some Swedes, came on board, whom we carried with us to Menates. We ran out to sea for the Menates on the 12th, and on the 17th happily arrived within Sandy Hook. On the 21st we sailed for the North River, from Staten Island, by the watering place, and saw that all the houses there, and about Mullen's house, one were burned up by the Indians, and we learned here that Johannes Van Beek, with his wife and some other people, and the captain of a slave trader which was lying here at anchor with a vessel, having gone on a pleasure excursion, were attacked by the Indians, who murdered Van Beek and the captain, and took captive his wife and sister. We found Van Beek dead in a canoe, and buried him. His wife has got back. The general is doing all that lies in his power to redeem the captives, and to make peace. Commending your honor, with hearty salutations, to the protection of the Most High, that he will bless you, and keep you in continued health, I remain your honor's obedient servant, Johannes Bodgert, clerk. Lostio, ship de Waal at the balance, the 31st October, 1655. Han. Mr. Schiepenbond to Mantle, director of the Chartered West India Company, at Amsterdam. 1. The House of Cornelis Mellon, on Staten Island. End Project Gutenberg a text of Odgert. Begin Project Gutenberg a text of Editors of the Dutch Ministers, reference material and sources. Johannes Megapolensis, Samuel Drisius, and Henricus Sellens, Letters of the Dutch Ministers to the Classis of Amsterdam, 1655-1664. And J. Franklin Jamison, ed. Narratives of New Netherland, 1609-1664. Original Narratives of Early American History, New York. Charles Scribner's Sons, 1909. Introduction. The Dutch clergy of the Reformed Church, as has already been mentioned in a previous introduction, were men whose observations we must value, because of their intelligence and their acquirements. And they also had a point of view which was to a large extent independent of the Director General and other civil officials. Hence the series of their reports to the classis of Amsterdam is worthy of much attention. In the absence of a continuous narrative of high importance for the years from 1655 to 1664, it has been deemed best to make use for those years of certain of these clerical letters. Of their authors, Domen Megapolensis has been already treated in the introduction to his tract on the Mohawks. He remained at New Amsterdam through the period of the English conquest, and died there in 1669. The Reverend Samuel Dricius Dries was born about 1602, of Dutch parents, but was throughout his earlier life a pastor in England, until the troubles in that country caused him to return to the Netherlands. Since he was able to preach, not only in Dutch, but also in English, and even in French, it was natural that the classis should send him out to New Netherland in response to the urgent requests made for assistance to Megapolensis, especially in dealing with the non-Dutch population at New Amsterdam. He began his pastoral service there in 1653, and continued throughout the remainder of the period represented by this book. In 1669 he is reported as incapacitated by failing mental powers, and he died in 1673. Domen Henricus Sellens was examined as a candidate for the ministry in 1657, ordained by the classis in 1660, called to Breukelen and inducted there in that year. He returned to Holland in 1664, before the surrender, but came back to New York in 1682 as minister of the Collegiate Church, and died there in 1701. John Romain Broadhead, at the time of his remarkable mission to the Netherlands, 1841, included in his endeavors a search for Dutch ecclesiastical papers bearing on New Netherland. The letters which follow were among those which he found in Amsterdam, in the archives of the classis. In 1842 they were lent, in 1846 given, by the classis to the General Synod of the Reformed Dutch Church in America. To this material large additions were made by a further search carried out in 1897-1898, by the Reverend Dr. Edward T. Corwin, acting as agent of that church, who is responsible for the translations which follow. An account of all this ecclesiastical material, under the title The Amsterdam Correspondence, was printed by him in 1897 in the 8th volume of the papers of the American Society of Church History. He edited the material for publication in the first volume of the series called Ecclesiastical Records, State of New York, published by the state in 1901. The letters which follow are taken, with slight revision, from various pages, from page 334 to page 562 of that volume. Letters of the Dutch ministers to the classis of Amsterdam, 1655-1664, Rev. Johannes Megapolensis to the classis of Amsterdam, March 18, 1655. Reverendissimi Domini, Fraters in Christo, Synergi Observandi, (1), I feel it my duty, to answer the letter of your reverences, dated the 11th of November, 1654, less than 2, we have cause to be grateful to the Messrs. Directors 3, and to your reverences for the case, and trouble taken to procure for the Dutch on Long Island a good clergyman, even though it has not yet resulted in anything. Meanwhile, God has led Domen Joannes Plhemius 4 from Brazil, by way of the Caribbean Islands, to this place. He has for the present gone to Long Island, to a village called Midwout, which is somewhat the Medullium 5 of the other villages, to wit, Breukelen, Amersfoort, and Gravesend. There he has preached for the accommodation of the inhabitants on Sundays during the winter, and has administered the sacraments, to the satisfaction of all, as Director Stuyvesant has undoubtedly informed the Messrs. directors. One most reverend masters, brethren in Christ, venerable fellow workers. Two ecclesiastical records, State of New York, I-331. Three of the West India Company. Four Reverend Johannes Theodorus Polhemus or Polhemius, born about 1598, was in early life a minister in the Palatinate. Driven thence by persecutions in 1635, he was sent to Brazil in 1636 by the Dutch West India Company, and remained there, minister at Itamarca, till the waning of the company's fortunes in that country, and the loss of Pernambuco compelled his retirement. In 1654 he went thence to New Netherland, and became provisionally minister of Midwout, the first Dutch church on Long Island. From 1656 to 1660 he was minister of Midwout, Breukelen, and Amersfoort, from 1660 to 1664 of Midwout and Amersfoort, from 1664 of all three churches again. He died in 1676. 5. Middle point. Midwout is now Flatbush. Amersfoort is Flatlands. As to William Vestians, who has been schoolmaster and sexton here, I could neither do much, nor say much, in his favor, to the council, because for some years past they were not satisfied or pleased with his services. Less than one thereupon, when he asked for an increase of salary last year, he received the answer, that if the service did not suit him, he might ask for his discharge. Only lately I have been before the council on his account, and spoken about it, in consequence of your letter, but they told me, that he had fulfilled his duties, only so too, and that he did little enough for his salary. One Willem Vestians or Vessens, schoolmaster, of Haarlem, a good, God-fearing man, was sent out in 1650 as schoolmaster, sexton, and omforter of the sick. In 1655 he asked to be transferred to the East Indies, and was replaced at New Amsterdam by Harmonus van Hobeken. 2. Taliter qualiter. Some Jews came from Holland last summer, in order to trade. Later some Jews came upon the same ship as Dr. Polhemius. One they were healthy, but poor. It would have been proper that they should have been supported by their own people, but they have been at our charge, so that we have had to spend several hundred guilders for their support. They came several times to my house, weeping and bemoaning their misery. When I directed them to the Jewish merchant, too they said, that he would not lend them a single stiver. Some more have come from Holland this spring. They report that many more of the same lot would follow, and then they would build here a synagogue. This causes among the congregation here a great deal of complaint and murmuring. These people have no other god than the mammon of unrighteousness, and no other aim than to get possession of Christian property, and to overcome all other merchants, by drawing all trade towards themselves. Therefore we request your reverences, to obtain from the messrs. Directors, that these godless rascals, who are of no benefit to the country, but look at everything for their own profit, may be sent away from here. For as we have here Papists, Mennonites, and Lutherans among the Dutch, also many Puritans or Independents, and many atheists and various other servants of Baal among the English under this government, who conceal themselves under the name of Christians, it would create a still greater confusion, if the obstinate and immovable Jews came to settle here. One refugees from Brazil, who retired after the capture of Pernambuco by the Portuguese, in January, 1654. The number of Jews who settled in New Amsterdam became considerable. The West India Company in 1655 repressed all attempts of Stuyvesant and his council, to expel or oppress them. 2. Jacob Barsimson seems to have been the one Jewish merchant then there. In closing I commend your reverences with your families to the protection of God, who will bless us, and all of you in the service of the divine word. Your obedient, Johann. Megapolensis. Amsterdam in New Netherland the 18th of March, 1655. Addressed to the Reverend. Pious and very learned deputies ad res ecclesiasticas indicas, in the classis of Amsterdam. Revs. J. Megapolensis and Estrisius to the classis of Amsterdam, August 5, 1657. Reverend, pious and learned gentlemen, fathers, and brethren in Christ Jesus. The letters of your reverences, of the 13th of June 1656, and of the 15th of October of the same year have been received. We were rejoiced to learn of the fatherly affection and care which you show for the welfare of this growing congregation. We also learned thereby of the trouble you have taken with the Messrs. Directors, to prevent the evils threatened to our congregation by the creeping in of erroneous spirits, and of your reverence's desire to be informed of the condition of the churches in this country. We answered you in the autumn of the year 1656, and explained all things in detail. To this we have as yet received no reply, and are therefore in doubt whether our letters reached you. This present letter must therefore serve the same end. The Lutherans here pretended, last year, that they had obtained the consent of the Messrs. Directors, to call a Lutheran pastor from Holland. Less than one they therefore requested the Hon. Director and the council, that they should have permission, meanwhile, to hold their conventicles, to prepare the way for their expected and coming pastor. Although they began to urge this rather saucily, we, nevertheless, animated and encouraged by your letters, hoped for the best, yet feared the worst, which has indeed come to pass. For although we could not have believed that such permission had been given by the directors, there nevertheless arrived here, with the ship MEULEN2 in July last, a Lutheran preacher Johannes Ernestus Peatwater, 3 to the great joy of the Lutherans, but to the special displeasure and uneasiness of the congregation in this place, yea, even the whole country, including the English, were displeased. One, there were Lutherans at Manhattan at the time of Father Jogues' visit, 1643, and they are called a congregation in 1649. In 1653 they petitioned to have a minister of their own and freedom of public worship. Stuyvesant and the ministers were disposed to maintain the monopoly of the Reformed, Calvinistic, Church. In 1656 he forbade even Lutheran services in private houses. But the company would not sustain this, though they upheld him in sending Gutwasser back to Holland in 1659. 2. Emil. 3. Johann Ernst Gutwasser. We addressed ourselves, therefore, to His Honor the Director General, the Burgomasters and Chieftains of this place, one and presented the enclosed petition. As a result thereof, the Lutheran pastor was summoned before their honors, and asked with what intentions he had come here, and what commission and credentials he possessed. He answered that he had come to serve here as a Lutheran preacher, but that he had no other commission than a letter from the Lutheran consistory at Amsterdam to the Lutheran congregation here. He was then informed by the Hon. authorities here, that he must abstain from all church services, and from the holding of any meetings, and not even deliver the letter which he brought from the Lutherans at Amsterdam without further orders, but that he must regulate himself by the edicts of this province against private conventicles. He promised to do this, adding however that with the next ships he expected further orders and his regular commission. In the meantime, however, we had the snake in our bosom. We should have been glad, if the authorities here had opened that letter of the Lutheran consistory, to learn therefrom the secret of his mission, but as yet they have not been willing to do this. One, New Amsterdam had received a municipal constitution, of about the type usual in the Netherlands, though somewhat less liberal, in 1653. We then demanded that our authorities here should send back the Lutheran preacher, who had come without the consent of the Messrs. Directors, in the same ship in which he had come, in order to put a stop to this work, which they evidently intended to prosecute with a hard Lutheran head, in spite of and against the will of our magistrates. For we suspect that this one has come over to see whether he can pass, and be allowed to remain here, and thus to lay the foundation for further efforts, but we do not yet know what we can accomplish. Domagideon Schaats 1 wrote to you last year about the congregation at Rensselaerswyck or Beverwyck, as he intends to do again. We know nothing otherwise than that the congregation there is in a good condition, that it is growing vigorously, so that it is almost as strong as we are here at the Manhattans. They built last year a handsome parsonage. On the South River, matters relating to religion and the church have hitherto progressed very unsatisfactorily. First, because we had there only one little fort, and in it a single commissary, with 10 to 20 men, all in the company's service, merely for trading with the Indians. Secondly, in the year 1651 Fort Nassau was abandoned and razed, and another, called Fort Casimir, was erected, lower down and nearer to the seaboard. This was provided with a stronger garrison, and was reinforced by several freemen, who lived near it. One minister at Rensselaerswyck since 1652. But the Swedes, increasing there in numbers, troubled and annoyed our people daily. After they had taken Fort Casimir from us, they annoyed our countrymen so exceedingly, that the South River was abandoned by them. However, in the year 1655 our people recovered Fort Casimir, and now it is held by a sufficiently strong garrison, including several freemen, who also have dwellings about. One was then appointed, to read to them on Sundays, from the postilla. Less than one this is continued to this day. Less than two the Lutheran preacher who was sent there was returned to Sweden. One book of homilies. Two Reverend Peter Jort, pastor at Fort Trinity. 2 miles from Fort Casimir, up the river, is another fort, called Christina. This was also taken by our people, at the same time, and the preacher THERE1 was sent away, with the Swedish garrison. One Reverend Matthias Nertunius. But because many Swedes and Finns, at least 200, live above Fort Christina, 2 or 3 leagues further up the river, the Swedish governor made a condition in his capitulation, that they might retain one Lutheran preacher, one to teach these people in their language. This was granted then the more easily, first, because new troubles had broken out at Manhattan with the Indians, and it was desirable to shorten proceedings here and return to the Manhattans, to put things in order there. Secondly, because there was no Reformed preacher here, nor any who understood their language, to be located there. One Reverend Lars Locker Lacinius, preacher at Tinicum from 1647 to 1688. This Lutheran preacher is a man of impious and scandalous habits, a wild, drunken, unmannerly clown, more inclined to look into the wine can than into the Bible. He would prefer drinking brandy 2 hours to preaching one. And when the sap is in the wood his hands itch, and he wants to fight whomsoever he meets. The commandant at Fort Casimir, John Paulus Jacket, brother-in-law of Domin Casparus Carpentier, one told us that during last spring this preacher was tippling with a smith, and while yet over their brandy they came to fisticuffs, and beat each other's heads black and blue. Yea, that the smith tore all the clothing from the preacher's body, so that this godly minister escaped in primitive nakedness, and although so poorly clothed, yet sought quarrels with others. Sed hoc perurgicos. One Carpentier was a Reformed minister whom the Dutch had established at Fort Casimir. Jacket was vice director on the South River, 1655-1657. Two but this incidentally. On Long Island there are 7 villages belonging to this province, of which 3, Brueckelen, Amersfoort, and Midwout, 1 are inhabited by Dutch people, who formerly used to come here to the communion, and other services to their great inconvenience. Some had to travel for 3 hours to reach this place. Therefore, when Domin Polhemus arrived here from Brazil, they called him as preacher, which the Director General and Council confirmed. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.